Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We hope this message opens your heart and changes your life.
We're actually in part three of a series we are calling Why Me, Lord? Let's say that together. Why me, Lord? How many of you guys have ever thought that or said it to yourself? Why the heck is this happening? And the subtitle is this: sometimes life is bad, but God is always good. And we've had part one and two, and I want to kind of recap those real quick, and then I want to dive into part three today. Number one was this, part one: storms are going to brew, but we don't have to what? Stew. That is the perfect, I think God gets happier when the pastor rhymes. Storms are going to brew, but we don't have to stew. I think that pleases the Lord when I rhyme. I may be off there, but I think it pleases the Lord. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, here's the deal. Storms in life, not just talking about physical storms, even though they can cause damage, obviously, in our lives, fires and all that stuff. But storms are inevitable. You're going to go through things in life. No matter what, no matter who you are, no matter if you live for Jesus or you don't live for Jesus, storms are inevitable. But here's the cool thing. I can praise God because when I hit the storms and we're in the boat together, He's there with me. Amen? So storms are going to brew, but we don't have to stew. Those of us that know Jesus, we don't have to worry, because He's in the boat with us. That was number one. Part two is this, and Olivia delivered an amazing message last week. If you didn't get to hear it, you can hear it on thousandhillsranch.church. You can go there and listen to it. But part two is this: storm season is just that. It's a season. Are you with me? So in other words, she used the example of Job. So if you look at the book of Job, it's 42 chapters. 42 chapters. And the first 36 or 37 chapters, Job is in a storm, right? The devil's attacking him. He's facing all kinds of stuff. I mean, everything's taken from him. But in chapter 38, guess what happens? The storm season is over and God shows up and He starts blessing Job even more than what he was before. And so you say, well, what's the point? Well, this point is storms are just that. They're just a season. At some point, God willing, they're going to end and God is going to show up. And if we're faithful and if we are praising Him in the storm, again, if we're faithful to Him in the storm, He's going to show up and make a big difference and even bless us even more than we were before. Make sense? So that's part one. Part two, I want to take another look at the story that we're in Matthew chapter 8. And I want to look at it because I believe God has given me a truth that I believe that can keep us from experiencing more storms than we have to. How many of you guys would like to experience less storms in life? Anybody? Well, hopefully after today, you're going to learn how to experience less storms. Not the absence of storms altogether, because that's life. But I believe that we can share less storms. I'll preface the story here. Jesus has been teaching he's by a lake. It's actually the Sea of Galilee. He's been teaching there to the crowds. I mean, there's thousands of people around, and he's teaching them, and he gets tired. So he says to the disciples, his 12 disciples, he says, hey, let's get in this boat, and let's head across the sea so that I can kind of re-energize and I can actually take a rest. And listen to the story as we pick it up in Matthew chapter 8. Listen to what it says. It says, then he, Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was what? What was he doing? He was sleeping. I mean, how could he do that, right? Verse 25, the disciples went and woke him up saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? I don't know about you, but it's a pretty amazing story as I think about it, and as I think about it even in my own life, how God calms a lot of the storms in my life. But I have a question. How many of you guys have ever made a bad decision? Yeah, if you're not raising your hand, you're making a bad decision because you're lying. And so you need to raise your hand. So here's the thing. All of us have made bad decisions in life. How many of you guys have ever bought something and you thought, man, this is going to be the best thing ever, and it turned out to be a lemon? Anybody? Yeah, I did it. I did it one time in my life. I've only screwed up once. So I have a father-in-law, right? Great guy. Owned a Dodge dealership until last year. He sold it and retired and all that stuff. But so through my father-in-law and through the family discount, I was able to purchase a brand new Dodge Hemi four-door silver four-wheel. I mean, it was beautiful, right? So I purchased this pickup. It's my, you know, the only pickup I've ever owned that was new. Well, I had this bright idea that, man, this pickup, man, it won't pull this trailer that I want to have so I can pull more horses and all that stuff. So I need a diesel pickup. Mistake number one. Because I had this pickup and it was perfect. So I'm driving down the road one day and I see this diesel pickup sitting on the side of the road for sale. Mistake number two. Never buy a pickup that's sitting on the side of the road that's for sale. Right? So I buy this pickup, I sell my brand new pickup, I buy this pickup, and all hell broke loose on this Dodge pickup. This new, actually it was a Chevy, sorry Chevy guys, it was this diesel pickup and nothing worked right on it. I got it home and it wouldn't pull a wagon. And I got this stupid lemon diesel pickup. I had to sell that sucker for less than I even paid for it. I mean, it was terrible. I made a bad decision. And I don't know if you've ever made decisions like that, but I have. Maybe, you know, some of you guys are cowboys. Maybe you made a decision one day that you're going to rope that big bull because he keeps getting out, right? And, you know, you didn't think about it, but you're on this young colt, and then when you rope that bull actually jerked you around rather than you jerking that bull around. I'll try to, maybe that's a bad decision that you made. I'll try to relate to the ladies, even though there's no way. But maybe, ladies, you looked in this magazine and you saw this haircut and this color, and you were thinking, man, that would look good on me. And then you get to the hair salon, and you know how they do. They don't face you toward the mirror when they're doing your hair. They face you away, and they do your hair, and you turn around, and you're like, what the heck happened to my hair? How did it get orange? You know? And you make a bad decision on that hairstyle. I don't know if you made those decisions in your life, but here's the thing. We've all made bad decisions in life. But here's the thing. And a lot of these bad decisions, you know, they've led to our failure in maybe an area. They've led to disappointment. Maybe they've led to sin in our lives. And in many cases, guess what? Bad decisions lead to unnecessary storms in our life. Are you with me? I mean, I've caused a few storms in my own life because I made a wrong decision. So here's the main thought for today. Okay, you ready? The main thought is this. Sometimes our boat sinks because we get in the wrong boat. Are you with me? Sometimes our boat sinks because we get in the wrong boat. And so you say, boat, what, you know, how do I get in the right boat? I mean, we're talking about boats and storms and the disciples and Jesus being in the right boat, all that stuff. How do we keep this from happening? I mean, how do I keep my boats that I'm in from sinking? Well, look at what the disciples did. They made a good decision. Look at it with me in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 again. It says this, then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples did what? They followed him. I want you to notice something. You ready? Jesus was in the boat and the disciples followed him. Catch this. They didn't go, hey, Jesus, man, we're going to go get in this boat, and this is the way we need to head, and this is where we're going, so get in the boat with us, Jesus. They didn't say that, did they? I mean, again, Jesus was the one who was already in the boat, and they followed him. Here's the truth. Sometimes I think we choose our own boat to get in. Anybody ever done that? It's like making that bad decision. We get in our own boat, and we think, oh, Jesus, come on in. I mean, the water's fine, right? Come on in. Get in the boat with me, man. I'm headed in the right direction. You just come follow me, right? And we make a decision that is wrong. We get in the wrong boat, and then inevitably, what happens? Our boat begins to sink, right? So sometimes we get in the, you know, our boat sinks because we get in the wrong boat. Here's a great example of this is a guy by the name of Jonah. Anybody ever heard of the guy Jonah in the whale? Absolutely. Well, you're going to get to hear this story today. Look at Jonah in Jonah chapter 1. Look at what it says. And this is the story of Jonah. It's amazing. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, the son of the of Amittai, or however you say his name. Verse 2, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But listen to what happens. But Jonah got up and went where? In the opposite direction. To get away from the Lord, right? So I'll stop right there. Jonah, God has given Jonah a purpose. He says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go get in this boat and float to Nineveh and tell them to repent so that I can save them from their sin. And what does Jonah do? He's like, heck no. He's like, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go and get in my own boat, and I'm going to run as far away as I can from what you've called me to do. In other words, he chose the wrong boat, right? And so listen to the result, what happens to Jonah because of this decision. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 again. It says, he went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board hoping to what? Escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled, I think of a throwing up there, right? The Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent what? Storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Do you see the result? Here's Jonah. Jonah says, hey, God, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to actually get in this boat, and I'm going to go where I want to go. And guess what? A storm hits, and it's going to break up the boat. And so the result of a decision not to follow God, guess what? Led him to a storm that he didn't even have to be in. How many of you guys, again, can relate to that? I mean, oftentimes we choose that wrong boat, and we get in a storm that we don't even have to be in. And so you say, well, how do we make the right decision and eliminate the storms that we don't have to be in? Here's the simple truth. We follow Jesus. We choose to follow him and get into his boat, not getting into our boat and expecting him to follow us. And to help us realize how, you know, or what's at stake when we do this, I got three thoughts and I'm done. You ready? Number one is this. Our decisions determine our destiny. Again, the Lord is happy right now because I rhymed. Our decisions determine our destiny. 3 D's. The Lord is happy. You should be happy too. That's a joke, by the way. It's okay to laugh. But at the same time, this is powerful right here. Our decisions determine our destiny. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at it with me. I mean, the people had a choice to make in the scripture. Look at what it says. It says, today I've given you a choice between what? Life and death, and between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this decision by choosing, or this choice by what? Loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. Listen to this next part. This is the key to your life. I would say that's pretty important. And what else did you say? And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to you to give your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here's the point. You say, what's the point of that? Well, here it is. We all have a choice. Our decisions determine our destiny. We can choose to surrender our sin to Jesus and receive forgiveness, or we can choose to live a pointless life without Jesus. We can choose to follow and live for Christ and gain abundant life on earth and eternal life in heaven, or we can choose curses and separation from God for eternity. Guess what? It's our choice. Some of you guys are like, really? I mean, is it really our choice? Why doesn't God make us love him? Here's why. One reason, love. If I looked at my wife and said, you got to love me, I'm going to make you, right? That'd be stupid, first of all. But second of all, it's not love if I have to make her love me. Are you with me? It's the same way with God. You say, why does God give us a choice? Why do I have the choice to obey him or disobey him? Why do I have the choice to ask for forgiveness or not ask for forgiveness? Because he loves you. Because he loves you and he wants you to choose him. And so today you have a choice. And so our decisions determine our destiny. Number two is this. Our decisions influence the destiny of others. Think about it. Our decisions influence the destiny of others, or other people's destiny. Sorry, I may have misquoted that. Other people's destiny. So you say, well, what's the point of this? Well, I'll give you another story. How many of you guys have been to Lake Eufaula? Anybody been to Lake Eufaula? Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a dirty lake. Everything you wear, if you wear it in the lake, it turns red. Just so you know. Anyways, so my grandpa, my mom's dad, owned a little cove on the edge of Lake Eufaula. And so we went to Lake Eufaula every summer. We would kind of camp out there and just have a great time. Well, my grandpa had a boat, right? And it wasn't one of those fancy Rangers, you know, or, you know, big pontoon or nothing. It was an aluminum boat that had, you know, like the pointy end. I don't even know what you call them. It cuts through the water and all that stuff. And it actually had a hole on the front of it to where you can kind of crawl under there or store your life jackets and all that stuff. Well, one day, my family, my brothers, I have two brothers, my mom and my dad and then my grandpa got in this boat. And it had a motor and we could actually even ski kind of behind it a little bit. Well, we go out. It's a beautiful day. Well, we get about right in the middle of the lake and the storm hits. How many of you guys have ever been in a storm on a lake? Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy wicked. I mean, it's like wicked, wicked. Like you see the lightning, you know, crack and you're like, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, right? Well, I was just a little kid. My brothers, they were just little. And so here we are, and I'll never forget it because my dad shoved me and my brothers into the hole, you know, underneath that little part at the front, shoved us in there. My mom was kind of like guarding us like a hen, you know, putting her little feathers up and trying to guard us. But I remember looking out of the hole and seeing my dad and my grandpa getting pelted by rain. And they're, I mean, we're just hitting a gloom, you know, when you hit that. I mean, it's a woo, you know, and I'm trying to get on top of my brothers to, you know, lessen the blow so that they can handle it all. Because I love them. And so I'll never forget it because my grandpa, he was like, hey, we can make it back to the dock. We can make it back to the trailer. And my dad's like, no. The shore's right there. Just go to the shore. Get on some dry land. Well, they decided to go all the way back to the trailer. And when we got to the trailer, from what I remember and what my dad told me, they got the, you know, cable hooked to the boat to pull it onto the trailer. But all of a sudden, a wind hit. And all of us, I was in the truck. One of my brothers was in the truck. My mom was in the truck. And my grandpa was on the shore. And my dad was on the shore. But my oldest brother was still in the boat. All of a sudden, a wind hit and it blew the boat. It flipped the boat over and it landed upside down in the water with my brother in it. Some of you guys are like, that's tragic. I was like, my brother's dead. No, I'm just kidding. He was a jerk to me all my life. But anyways, so I'm trying not to get bitter in that moment when I'm, you know, looking at, oh, he's going under. Yay. You know, but then my dad saved my brother. He got out from underneath it. We flipped the boat over and everything was fine after that. But it ruined my dad. My dad said after that, yeah, we're not owning a boat. We're not going out on the lake. We're not doing nothing on the lake. And so here's what I learned from that. And here's maybe what my dad maybe learned. Our decisions influence other people's destiny. They may have should have checked the weather. I'll give you an example in my own life. You know, before I got married, I mean, I like to drive fast. Anybody like to drive fast? Yeah, it's wrong, kids. Don't do it. But I like to every now and then. And so when I got a wife and we got married, I mean, again, she's older, adult. She can tell me to slow down. And every time she'd tell me to slow down, I'd speed up. That's good marriage counseling right there. But anyway, so I started having kids, and then all of a sudden I thought, well, I can't, you know, get too crazy like I used to because now I have kids, right? It's the same way in our lives. Our decisions influence other people's destiny. Jonah is a great example of this. Look at what happened to the guys that were in the boat with Jonah. Listen to this. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted out to their gods for help and threw cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But here, listen to this. All this time, Jonah was sound what? He was asleep. I mean, it reminds me of Jesus here, but Jonah's not Jesus. So listen to what happens. He was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went out down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots and to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. And then they went to him and said, "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" They demanded, "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" And Jonah answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them that he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" And listen to what Jonah says. "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, listen to the stupid sailors. They did it wrong, right? Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. And then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Here's the point. Jonah's disobedience influenced the destiny of those other people. It's the same way with us. Again, your boat has other people in it. If you're married, you have other people to think of. If you have kids, you have other people to think of. I mean, think about it. Do your decisions lead your marriage to be better, or do they lead it to be worse? Do your decisions and to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus, do they lead your children closer to God and give them a good example to follow, or do they go, "No, that's not the right way to live"? I mean, think about this. Think about your friends who don't know Jesus that are outside these walls right now. Are you living a life that honors God, that draws them closer to God, or does it push them further away? Again, your decisions influence other people's destiny. And so number one, our decisions determine our destiny. Number two, our decisions influence other people's destiny. And here's number three, and I'm done. And this one's long, I apologize. Getting into Jesus's boat is always better and sometimes makes life easier. It's always better to get in Jesus' boat, and sometimes it makes life easier. I want you to look at a map of Jonah's journey. Look at this with me if you'll show that, Steve. Look at this map. I want you to look at this. This is where Jonah was when God said, "Hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh," right here. He's right here in Joppa, right? Well, what does Jonah do? Jonah decides, "Hey, I'm going to go the opposite direction." Look at how far it was in his disobedience. Tarshish. Again, I can't even say it. I feel like I got a list. Tarshish. You know, so look at that. And you say, "Well, what's the point?" Well, the point is getting into Jesus' boat is always better and sometimes easier. Look at the hard road that he had to go when he was disobedient. Some of you guys are in a boat that you shouldn't be in, and you're wondering why all hell's breaking loose. It's because you're disobeying and you're going the wrong direction. The wrong boat for Jonah caused a storm that was unnecessary, caused chaos, caused sin, caused other people, their lives to be in danger because he was disobedient. And so again, he chose this long road. But look at the other side of it. If he would have disobeyed, or if he would have obeyed, and he does eventually, look at the short road that he had to follow to get to Nineveh. The point is this. It's always better to follow Jesus, and sometimes it's easier. You say, why is it sometimes? Well, because life's not easy. Even if you follow Jesus, it's not easy. When you get in the right boat, do all the storms go away? No. But guess what? The cool thing is Jesus is in the boat because you're in the right boat. I mean, look at what Jonah did in the last part of it. He got in the right boat, and look what happened. And it says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, it says, the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Praise God for second chances. Amen. He spoke to him a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah did what? He obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh, listen to what happened. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. I mean, Jonah said a message and they believed it, and look what happened. When God saw that they had, what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Listen, did you hear what Jonah did? Jonah obeyed, and there wasn't a storm. I don't know about you, but I kind of think I want to obey. I mean, think about it. If we obey, then there might be less storms in our life. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths what? Straight. Do you hear what it's saying? Trust the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't choose your own way, and God will make your paths straight. Will they be storm-free? No. Will there be fewer storms? Sometimes. Will your path be straighter and more blessed? Most definitely. Every time. Because you chose to follow Christ. Here's what I want to close with. You ready? Jesus' boat is always the right choice. It's always the right choice. I have never said disobeying God was better. I've never said, I really got ahead when I did things my way and not God's way. I've never said that. I've never said, I felt free and full of joy when I didn't do what God wanted me to do. I've never said that. You know why? Because it's never true. You know how I feel when I disobey and I get in my own boat and I ask Jesus to get out or I ask Jesus not to come? You know what I feel like? I feel miserable. I hate this storm that I'm in. I feel like, man, you know, this life is terrible because I've chosen my own way. And so here's the point. Jesus' boat is always the right choice. Always the right choice. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Again, you may be here today for maybe the first time. We want to say welcome to you again. We want to thank you for being here today. But maybe you're here today, and from the message that the Lord has brought today, you figured out that you're in the wrong boat. Maybe you're living in a way that you know, hey, this isn't glorifying to God. And you're living in sin. Maybe you're living in a relationship that you know isn't God's will. You're in a dating relationship that you know that isn't God's best. Again, you're in the wrong boat. Maybe there's some things that you do in the dark. Maybe there's some things that you do when no one else is around. Maybe there's, you know, things that you think you're getting away with, but God knows exactly what you're doing, and he knows it. And he knows that it's wrong, and you know that it's wrong, and you're in the wrong boat. Listen, let me share something that's true. We've all been in the wrong boat. Every one of us. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I know I'm in the wrong boat. Nobody's looking around, but I would just ask, if you're in the wrong boat, would you just raise your hand? You know it. Anybody? Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? You're in the wrong boat. Thank you. Listen, those of you that just raised your hand saying, you know what? I'm not in the right boat. I'm not in the boat with Jesus. I know him, but I'm not living for him. Listen, you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, the Bible says that if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so for some of you, you may be in the wrong boat and you're thinking, well, I'm in this storm and I've caused it. How do I get out? Well, it's like the verse says, you got to confess your sin and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I want to get in the right boat. And the word is you repent. In other words, you turn from your sin and your life of sin and your wrong direction. You get out of that boat and you get in God's boat and you start living for him. You start worshiping him with your life, not just at church, not just through singing the songs, but you begin to live for him. And so some of you need to confess your sin before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've chosen my own boat. I want to get in your boat. I want to get in the right boat, and I want to begin to live for you. Listen, that's the cool thing about God. He's going to give you a second chance, just like he did with Jonah. And so maybe that's you. Maybe in your heart, you just need to say, you know, maybe just pray something like this in your heart. Jesus, I know I'm in the wrong boat. Jesus, I don't know how to get out. But I know that I want to be in your boat. So show me how to get out of this boat and how to get into your boat. Because I want to live for you. I don't want to live for myself any longer. I don't want to buy the lies of the world. I don't want to be in this storm any longer. So today I'm repenting. I'm turning from my sin and I'm turning to you. Listen, maybe you just prayed that. That prayer of repentance. Listen, God's going to answer your prayer. He's going to forgive you of your sin or has forgiven you of your sin. And he's going to show you what boat you need to get out of so that you can get in his boat. Some of you are here today and you've never been in the boat with Jesus because you don't know him. You don't know him personally. Listen, the Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so maybe you're here today and you need to maybe pray something like this. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that I need your forgiveness. And so today I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And save me. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. Can I just tell you, you've made the best decision that you'll ever make in your life by trusting in Jesus. And now you're in the right boat. Maybe there's other boats that maybe you got one leg still in and you need to get out of as God reveals that. But now Jesus is in the boat. And he's wanting you to, again, ride with him, sail with him, live for him. And you say, well, how do I do that? How do I know how to live my life? Well, that's why God has given us the church, so that we can ride alongside of you and show you how to live for Christ. We can give you a Bible. We can show you the things of the Lord and the things of his word and how to live by them. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe you just prayed, you know, that prayer of salvation today. We rejoice with you. And we praise God for that decision that you made today. Here in a second, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Heather's going to come. She's going to share with you how you can connect with our church so that we can help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Lord, we come to you right now and I thank you. I thank you for each person that's in this barn today. And Lord, I know that they're not here by accident. That you brought them here to hear this message today so that they could realize that they're in the wrong boat and they need to follow you. And so, Lord, today I pray that that's happened. And I pray that you were glorified. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you've made a commitment today, you can get in touch with us at thousandhillsranch.church or call us at 580-216-6427. We ride to be generous and we celebrate the cheerful giver. If you feel led to give, please go to thousandhillsranch.church and click on the Give tab to give your tithes and offering today. Have a blessed week.